Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation. We are live at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits, and we'd love it if you can come on by. $25 gift card for all new Tolo customers. It's Argyle Station here. It's booming. So if you Google it, it might not even pop up on your maps, depending on which app you're using. Just go 8595 US 377 here in Argyle. We'll see you soon. We have 2.5 hours of sports still to come, and here's Wolchuk with your football fix.
All righty. Man, Brian, you remember my guy Thomas the Tank? Thomas Perry, Middlebury, center. D3.
Yes.
Killed it at the Shrine Bowl.
Yes. You and Vach did a great job doing the commentary. And I think they're going to have you back.
I hope they do.
Yeah.
Because that was fun. And it honestly helped with the draft because we ended up getting, a lot of guys got drafted from the Shrine Bowl, and I think it's growing.
Lose the Bears. We've been working on the draft this week.
Yeah, I might start soon. So the Cowboys had Thomas the Tank in for a workout yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, heck yes, sign him, please. He's Duke Manyweather's guy. I mean, you talk about leverage. He's a little bit undersized. He's got guard center flex, but a powerful dude. Unfortunately, they decided to go with Wesley French. And I shouldn't say unfortunately. Good for Wesley and the French family. 6'4", 307, certainly a bigger player, but he's got a connection with your line coach.
That's the deal. That's what I was hearing, the connection with the line coach.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, just on surfaces, if you're choosing between a French and a Tank, it's not that hard of a choice if you ask me.
You mean Thomas the Tank?
I've heard of Frank the Tank.
And credit Frank the Tank. I think he's lost like 200 pounds. He's looking good. And if you want a great video, just Google Frank the Tank cooks ribs. Worst job I've ever seen from an individual cooking ribs in my life.
Ooh. Could it be any worse than, Dawson, you've seen this before, the guy that makes meals in the hotel bathroom?
Oh, yeah, that guy's incredible. Oh,
homeless guy? His looked edible. Frank the Tank's was burnt to a crisp.
He forgot. He blasted them.
Yeah.
He
did it wrong.
He's lost, what, about 200 pounds?
I think so.
Yeah.
He's been walking every day.
Just walking.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Mm. Yeah. Well, probably eating a lot less.
Yeah, I mean, he was darn near 500 pounds. He was a big boy. And we had Frank the Tank actually on nosebleed seats way back in the day.
Yes, we did.
We had Frank the Tank on. He's a good dude. Frank's a sweet man.
We might have been his catapult into
I think so too.
Media dominance.
Yeah, I think Portnoy heard that and was like, I got to get this guy a bar stool.
Yep.
But bleep those other guys that were interviewing him. They can kick rocks. Let's go to Filthy. And the big story this week has been the tush push. It was the big story all offseason. But now everybody's calling it out because it's an illegal play.
Yeah, we're actually going to have Dean Blandino on the pregame show on Sunday.
Yes.
So if you guys have any...
Tell him go after himself,
But didn't he give up on the tush push? He doesn't want any questions on that, right?
Yeah, I think my question is going to be... The question is going to be, like, can anything be done at this point? Or do we have to wait now? Like, it's here to stay for this season.
Well, here's the follow-up. If he doesn't want to talk about the tush push, say, Dean, that's fine. Would you rather talk about that or that Dez caught it?
Oh, he admitted. Well, he admitted that Dez caught it.
Yeah.
He admitted that.
Dean Blandino, I will never forgive him, ever. If I see him in a public setting...
You're going to flick that, Dean.
I'm going to absolutely slap the living crap out of Dean Blandino. Just kidding, Dean. I wouldn't do that to
you. I'm going to play the sound for him.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. Let's go to Jordan Mailata.
As we bring him on.
Yeah.
We always play the play-by-play guy's touchdown call.
Yeah. That would be the intro.
I would not put it past you to do that. Jordan Mailata was on the Eagles station, the WIP, WIP.
Sistus.
And we were, it was Ike Reese and company, the show that was down
the Ripper.
Just down the hallway from us or down the row from
drafted
us.
Drafted that,
Super
man.
Bowl row. Oh, did you?
You know what?
Real quick. Draft was awesome.
Real quick, that was that 98 draft. Ike Reese drafted him and never got to – we got let go before they came in. I went up and introduced myself.
Oh, nice.
During the Super Bowl.
Cool.
I went up to him. I said, hey, Ike, you don't know me. And he looked at me. He goes, yeah. He goes, Brian brought us. I was with the Eagles. He looked at me. He goes, you drafted me.
Mm.
And I said, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I go, yeah, we did. Myself, Mike Lombardi, our staff. He goes, man. And he stood up and he gave me like a hug.
Nice.
But I had never, ever met him, Jeremiah Trotter, any of those guys.
Really?
None of those guys.
So you were the pre-draft meetings like not as common then?
We did pre-draft meetings and all that, but when we went to me and Mike went to Florida for the next round of meetings. And we had not had practice yet.
Gotcha.
And so we got let go when they were doing the bringing in the rookies. So I never, ever got to meet Trey, any one of those guys that I used to have to go and I tried to introduce myself if I ever saw him somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys were like, man, yeah, you're the guy. All right. Yeah, I heard about you. And I'm like, yeah, that was me. Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah. So, but it was kind of cool, though, to Ike Reese, though. He played great for us. Pro Bowl player.
Well, he's visiting with Jordan Mailata. And, I mean, he's got the great voice.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take off.
No, you're good. That was a great story. And because he's from New Zealand, so I like listening to him talk. But he's getting ticked off about everybody going after the Eagles for the tush push.
When I see those things, and they fly across my timeline here and there. And I do my best to stay off social media, but... That kind of irks me a little bit. That pisses me off because we give so much to this game and to kind of base off a short yardage play that is a football play.
Yeah.
And say that we won the game off that, but not how our defense played, not how our special teams have played, putting us in those positions. You know, I think it's bull crap. Part of my French. Hey, let me press this dump button.
No, that's fine.
Is fine.
Yeah, that one's fine.
I was going to say a lot of other stuff, but I just think it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish, man.
Rubbish.
It makes me
it's rubbish.
Makes my blood boil just thinking about it.
It's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. Yeah, and I do like the awareness there. Hey, let me hit the dump button. Jordan Mailata seems like an awesome guy, but how many times did they convert on the tush push? Did you say yesterday, Eric? Was it 7?
Well, they ran it 7 times. I'm not sure exactly what their conversion rate was on it, but I'm sure it was
at least 5 of 7
at least.
Can I throw a real quick stat about Caleb Williams out here real quick?
Yeah. About how many times he's gotten his
pushed?
No.
He's rubbish?
No. 0 of 3 on quarterback sneaks this year.
Ooh.
He has yet to convert a quarterback sneak this year.
You got
to
be a hungry, strong, tough dog.
Again,
not with painted nails.
He ain't that
guy I wanted to draft.
Yeah, he ain't that guy.
Man, that's interesting. I wonder if we get into a 4th and short situation or a 3rd and 1, are they going to end up sneaking it? But
he's going to get stuck in Kenny Clark's navel.
Damn right he is. Nobody's doing it like the Eagles are, but I think the point is, Jordan, it's not to diminish what you're doing, win-loss record, and yeah, the defense played great, whatever, special teams played great. You are extending drives based on this play, and it certainly is aiding in your ability offensively to help you win games in short yardage situations, also to score the football, which is the most important thing. You can't win games in the NFL without scoring points.
Yeah, and people forget that. Huge part of them winning. Right. Nobody's trying to discount all of the other things that you're doing to win. It's the fact
that
it looks like they have timed up the cadence to where the guard is leaving a quarter second early almost every time.
Yes, false starts and offsides. You've got the center's head that is well beyond the football.
So much for the neutral zone, man.
Neutral zone fraction.
Yes, it doesn't exist anymore.
On the center and the guards. Throw the penalty. Come on, Dean. What are we doing?
I mean, the entire play is built on the idea of getting lower, and you're not going to get lower unless you leave sooner. You got to snap a football, but you're starting at times with, I don't know, it mid-chest by the time the ball is truly out.
It's amazing how many players are in the neutral zone even before the snap happens.
Yes.
It's very annoying.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Well, I think they will vote it out after this year, and I love that the Chiefs game was the flashpoint after all the drama of last year, them getting the benefit of the doubt, to have them
get
their butts handed to them and move to
0-2. Well, they voted for it.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, that's also true.
Yeah, they voted for it.
But the volume's getting too loud now, and the evidence is getting to the point, and you're going to have teams that maybe voted for go ahead and keep it. They're going to feel victimized this year, especially because the Eagles are more vulnerable. This will be a more and bigger part of why they win.
Commandos are signing Preston Smith They need help.
He was a former commander.
Dietrich Weiss, yes, he was. And then he ended up going to Green Bay. So they go ahead and make that addition. Packers, by the way, we knew about Jaden Reed. Mm-hmm. He did have the surgery on the collarbone. He also had a foot surgery. So there were two injuries there.
The fifth.
Successful foot and clavicle surgeries for Jaden Reed. Good news on Khalil Mack. Avoiding season-ending elbow injury. He's expected back in a few weeks, so the Chargers defense will not be without him. And Justin Fields officially ruled out with a concussion, so it will be Tyrod Taylor starting at quarterback for the Jets.
A lot of backup quarterbacks throwing it here in week three.
Yeah, a lot of injuries. Now,
your quarterback, they say.
Cincinnati's still holding out hope that Joe Burrow could come back before the end of the season. We'll see. I mean, if they're still fighting for a position, maybe, but I don't know if Jake Browning's going to keep them alive. Aaron Jones, Vikings running back, he's going to IR for at least 4 weeks. So if you're a fantasy person, Jordan Mason expected to take the bulk of the carries there in Minnesota. They also signed Cam Akers, who I feel like for the last 3 years has been like on and off the Minnesota Vikings roster. He's kind of like their fallback option. We don't really want you, but if we have to have a back, we'll go ahead and just give you a call and you can go ahead and take a couple snaps.
He's like their fantasy streamer guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They keep dropping and picking back up.
We got injuries. We need a plug and play. All right, Cam Akers, you're back on the team. Bills tomorrow, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills.
Bills, you're going to be without two key defensive starters tomorrow night against the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins number one. Ed Oliver.
And as in the number one pick.
Yes. Matt Milano, linebacker, going to be out. Okay, those are two big losses, though, Eric. Do you feel better about the Dolphins?
I think the Bills could play with simply nine defenders. They just don't replace the two. They play with nine, and they still find a way to win the football game.
Okay. So we should all pick the Bills in Survivor this week.
Yes.
That should be the play.
It should be a no-brainer. Lock it in.
All right, ESPN's got real or not out. Here's your Cowboys. Real or not? You guys tell me. We kicked this around a little bit earlier, Gavin. The early surprise, four rushing touchdowns. The verdict, according to Todd Archer of ESPN, real. That might not sound impressive to some folks, but the Cowboys had just six rushing touchdowns last season. Six! Javonte Williams has three. Most by a Cowboys runner in the first two games since Marion Baba in 2008. Miles Sanders has the other one. Clayton Adams is helping design a much better rushing attack. Last year, Arizona, 18 rushing touchdowns. Good red zone teams run the ball into the end zone. Right now, that's what the Cowboys are doing. Do we think they can sustain at least the rushing success in the red zone and getting those touchdown numbers up?
Yeah, I think so. The offensive line, the scheme is better. I just don't know if Javonte Williams is the answer for the entire season or multiple seasons. You know, I still think they're looking for their next star running back to take the schemes and the great line play and become an unstoppable force. But this way better than last year.
Their tight end point of attack blocking has been really good down there. Running
Span
the
forward?
Span forward, absolutely.
Tearing him up.
Yeah.
And that's a huge improvement.
Yeah, when him and his tackles have been able to combo, they've done a nice job of kind of eliminating ends, getting the guy up on a linebacker, getting some push. You know, good for them. That's why they're running the ball better. They went from being a team that would be collisioned at the line of scrimmage or behind. Not anymore. They're one of the best teams running on the other side of the ball.
I'd like to conclude the Daily Football Fix here with a little chicken soup for your Texas Longhorn soul. Arch Manning, the Athletic, has just compared his first five starts to the other Manning family's five starts. Uncle Eli, Peyton, Grandpa Arch.
Well, that's what it reminds me of, is like previous eras in college football where you had to sort of take your lumps on your way to being a good senior quarterback.
And this seems very on par for the Mannings. Peyton was benched in his fifth career start as a true freshman at Tennessee. Eli was really good to start at Ole Miss, then stunk in the back half of the season, losing 3 of 4, throwing 8 interceptions in his final five starts. Grandpa Archie threw 17 picks in his first season as the starting quarterback in 1968 at Ole Miss. So if you look at the numbers, just by the numbers, Arch more touchdowns. He's got less interceptions than Archie. and he's got way more rushing touchdowns. We know that. He's got one more than Archie, but Peyton and Eli had no rushing touchdowns in their first five games. The yards, I'm not really going to go ahead and compare because it's different eras. That's tough to do. They're throwing the football more now than they were, certainly when Archie was quarterbacking. But this is kind of par for the course for somebody with their last name Manning starting in college football. They have not really hit the ground running. I'm still just relax, R-E-L-A-X, Aaron Rodgers style on Arch Manning. It's this year, I'm not saying it's going to be great, but he's going to be overall fine for the future.
I'm with you on that.
Noted.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
And thank you to Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits here, Argyle Station, right off of 377 in Frenchtown Road. Frenchtown Salon Suites is upstairs. It's a booming salon if you're in the area and you're looking for a place to come get all pretty, get a massage, stuff like that. I guess they're going to have live music coming up tonight from 5 to 8. And cocktails. It's going to be a party. I mean, it's the grand opening here at Argyle Station all the way until the end of our show and into the evening. Okay, where are we going next, Chief?
We got a college football hump day darty. Speaking of Arch Manning, we have a QB expert breaking him down. We have a crying Dabo Swinney and big time shots fired.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year in the nation. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the fan. We are live at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits. Got a grand opening celebration going on here. They're giving away family four packs to the fair every hour. Real Estate Station is doing their giveaways. Argyle Cigar and Smoke. It's right here on the first floor in the corner behind the gas station and the car wash, basically at 8595 US 377 here in Argyle. Time for some college football. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And here's the Chief of some college football.
Yeah, we start, though, with a big-time shout-out to Mr. Ripple.
Oh, Ripple.
Legendary Tolo, Jason Ripple, just came in with the goodies. We got the Stogies from the tobacco shop right around the corner. Right. Also giving out the Tolo discount, by
yes.
the way.
Yes.
And he came bearing another gift, an all-time gift.
It is an all-time gift.
A gift that you can see on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube right now. The unveiling of the Texas Rangers T-Taw's hat.
That's unbelievable. I'm trying to scour my brain for any sort of recollection of a better gift. That might be the GOAT.
This is an all
collector's item.
This a total collector's item. I'm like, dude, I cannot believe one. How did you find this?
And yeah. No.
How did you find
he
this?
He said he might have just built a good relationship with the cartel for that hat.
It wouldn't shock me.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
These are tough hats to come by, but I am vowing to not take it off my head until the Rangers find their way into the postseason. Maybe this is the ultimate pivot point.
I love that.
This is the moment.
We go undefeated from here on out.
We go exactly. We
Sports
run the table.
Contraband.
Starts tonight.
It starts tonight.
Hell yes.
Starts right now.
All because of the Tatas.
All because of the T-Taw's hat. Look at
the
that,
most graphic and vulgar sports collectible since the Billy Ripken card.
Did someone just bring that in for you and say,
yes, Jason. Dude, Jason, the most legendary Tolo of all time.
How does...
Who's taking some samples right now here at Fine Wine and Spirits in Arlington, enjoying himself a nice Wednesday afternoon. He brought in the Stogies and he brought in the T-Taw's hat. And now the Rangers are going. This is going to fuel something.
How many of these hats do you think were?
Not many, dude. This
that's
is a
what I'm saying. That's a one of one, right? A
couple hundred, maybe.
Yeah.
Before they were discontinued.
Yeah.
Quite controversial last year, right?
Yeah, earlier this year.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah,
banned.
Earlier this year, for sure. So I can't even believe it. I am, I feel like Christmas morning right now. Just pulled out the best gift ever.
It's pretty bad.
Little stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I guess I got to, I don't know what to get you now.
Let's go Rangers. All right, let's get into some college footballs, boys and girls. And we start with a good old-fashioned waving goodbye. For the final time, at least, as it stands right now,
goodbye.
One last iron skillet to appreciate.
The last iron skillet?
Yeah.
TCU is TCU's gone soft on us.
Yeah.
Not sure what the deal is, but they're pulling the plug on it. 104 meetings. They're 35 miles apart, 103 years of history. And after this weekend, no more scheduled games between the Ponies and the Horny Frogs.
I hope this is just a matter of time that we can get this thing back, much like we did Texas A&M, because they need to play every year. And this is a huge game. I mean, SMU just blew a double-digit lead to Baylor last week.
Yeah.
You saw Sawyer Robertson bring them back in Dallas at SMU. So this is going to be a big one. SMU really, really needs this game. But so does TCU.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Both teams do. And it's just it's a shame that it's going to be going away, at least for the near future.
Yeah, it stinks.
And from everything I've read, TCU is to blame on this. So take that for what you will.
Must not want the smoke.
Guess not. Now, we do have Joel Klatt.
Is SMU discontinuing the Pony Up thing, though?
Yeah, I did read something about that.
They're taking an L here as well.
Yeah.
Well, what do we do? What? No more Pony Up?
They're moving away. We're leaning more into Mustangs and away from ponying, which just seems weird.
Well, they're saying that ponies are little and soft. And
did I accidentally say in the middle of my T-Toss rant, Arlington instead of Argyle? My apologies. We're in Argyle right now.
I was just admiring the hat.
Bottom line is, we're going to get Rangers.
Go get Rangers.
Here in Aubrey.
All right.
I said Robert Flannoy instead of Ryan yesterday, so
true.
We're all taking L's.
Let's tee up Joel Klatt here, who has a nice little breakdown.
Joel Klatt.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. What the hell's going on with Arch Manning?
Personally believe after watching Arch, he is too fast right now. He is pressing, and he is ahead of the offense. That's the way it looks. Maybe not on every single play, but certainly on several plays. So here's what I see. Is I see that Arch gets back there and he has time to throw. And then before the picture can develop, you can tell his eyes are already shifting from the first place he's looking to the second place he's looking. So he's going from one to two before the picture ever materializes. He's ahead of the timing of the offense. Well, when that happens, typically you lose your balance. You lose your pocket presence. Your eyes go down because you're anticipating that the clock is moving too fast. So your eyes go down. Your pocket awareness crumbles. You miss open wide receivers. And when you do let go of the football, you're moving so fast in your own mind, you typically throw those balls short. Why? Because you jump at them. Your front foot gets out just a little bit too high. You jump at the throw and the ball tends to nose down and be short. If you're looking at the bulk of the incompletions for Arch Manning so far, they are underthrown. A couple of them woefully, going back to that game against Ohio State, and then several more in the last couple of games. Even when he's just trying to throw a quick hitter on the outside, it's too far low and away. Everything is trending down and away from the wide receivers. Very few passes from Arch so far this year have been in rhythm, in balance, and in the frame of the wide receiver. That's what's going on right now.
Okay, so I think that's a pretty good breakdown there in terms
Absolutely.
Of tangibly what you're seeing on the field. And we heard Danny Cannell talking about the mental side of it being more of the issue than physically. But the mental side of it is affecting him physically for sure. And I think it'll just be a matter of time, hopefully. I mean, hopefully he can kind of get out of this. But in terms of this season, like how quickly can you remedy that, especially with the tougher teams on the schedule that are about to start piling up on you? I don't know. I don't know at what point this can really be fixed other than him seeing some shots go in, so to speak, and start to get the confidence up a little bit and just more repetition, more experience. Hopefully, as the season goes on, even if Texas' season doesn't go the way that everybody was sort of anticipating it going, you can at least start to see the signs that, okay, things are slowing down for him, and he's a little bit calmer, playing with a little bit more confidence, and see that production start to go up, and then
have a lot more confidence going into next season. But in terms of right now, I just don't know how you snap out of something like that.
No, I think it took Jack Leiter about a year. You know, it's going to take a lot of experience, probably downtime, reflection, coming back, maybe being an upperclassman, having some success will do all of that. But there's just an element to really fast and strong guys running at him that he probably didn't experience too much of in high school and hasn't experienced too much of. So I would say give it a year. If it's still a problem in a year, then it's probably never going
to
happen for
him. I think he needs to go win a big game. I think he's going to have to take his team to the swamp next week and find a way to get it done. Whether it's pretty, not pretty, however it is, he just needs to feel good about his how he contributes to this win. You know, and I don't think going against, you know, and no offense, Sam Houston, national championship program, you know, for their divisions and stuff, and UTEP and all these, no offense to them. But he needs to have some success where it's like, you know, it's that people are talking about the team success and him and not how he played. But yeah. I think he needs to be arisen. He might go the Florida field and it might be just crazy, but he just needs to go and win one of these games where he's the guy. And he makes a couple good throws. Maybe he makes a couple bad throws. Maybe he runs over somebody. But he needs to get back to just playing football again, because there's a lot of scrutiny on the way this guy dropped back and throws the football. And I hope it's not a mental thing for him. You know, I hope it's just him being processing things so fast that his body's got to catch up. Just like Joel Klatt was talking about.
Yeah.
His mechanics are not good.
No, it's, you know,
I mean,
really bad.
I'm not going to sit there and act like I'm Joel Klatt and can break it down that way. But you just – I've watched a bunch of quarterbacks play, mm-hmm. and I've seen poor mechanics. That's poor mechanics mm-hmm. right there. That's the number one thing.
The sidearm delivery. And that's something he wasn't doing before.
That is – now, you could get some guys like you're gonna play this Caleb Williams, and he could throw the ball kind of moving all over the place. But I think that Arch Manning, he needs to tighten up those things, those mechanics – because I don't see him as that kind of off-platform thrower.
I think getting beat up could help him too. Like, the way that you're playing, maybe a little bit scared, maybe a little bit sped up. I think it's hard for that lesson to totally come home when you're surviving unscathed or when you're losing to just the number one team in the country. Like, you suffer some bad losses. Yeah. That'll really make you look in the mirror and say, I can't play like that anymore. Because even scared, I'm still getting beat back.
I think he realized after, like, the UTEP game when they were 40-point favorites and they only get up, they only 17. You know, he was very critical of himself. You know, his standards for what he believes. But, man, I think if he gets it, just goes and gets a big SEC win somewhere, that'll flush a lot of things for him. And he could go back to being a football player. Because we've seen him, like, as a backup, like, take the snap, run over people, make athletic plays. He's capable of doing those things. But he might be just, like Joel Klatt said, you're just thinking, not thinking too much, but just – so sped up, like you said, Dawson,
yeah.
with the way he's playing. It's like he's processing so fast that it's kind of messing him up, that he's got too much. He's seeing too much, where some quarterbacks don't see it at all. He's seen it probably way too much.
Well, we'll get to a crying Dabo Swinney a little bit later on in the program, but there it is, your college football hump day, Darty.
I love it. As we're broadcasting live at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits, you want to come by, get a free $25 gift card for every new Tolo that comes and becomes a new customer. They got a grand opening celebration here at Argyle Station 377 in Frenchtown. If you're in the area, please do come by, say hi. All right, we got Jared Sandler coming up next. We'll get a Rangers preview as they face a must win game tonight in Houston. We're back here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Welcome back. We are live at Argyle's Fine Wine and Spirits, and salute to the Tolo who just walked in and said, bleep the tush push. As it's been a big topic of conversation here today. Salute to Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits for having us out. 8595 US 377. The Burger Man Catering is outside making burgers. They're doing State Fair family four-pack giveaways and $25 gift cards for all new Tolo customers. Let's talk with Sands here, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6:30. How the heck are you, Jared?
What's up, guys? Just thinking about all the different ways you can apply the tush push in life outside of football.
Yeah, you know, it could be a good thing in some ways, but definitely not when your division rival is wreaking havoc upon the entire NFL with it. Jared, has any part of you started looking forward to the offseason?
No, not yet. Not yet. I will say, though, I mean, we were trying to do the math yesterday, just looking at the Red Sox and the Astros and everything. I mean, the Rangers probably need to go. Like, if they go 8-2 the rest of the way, you feel really good about it. If they go 7-3, maybe they have a chance. But no matter whether it's 7 or 8 wins the rest of the way, I feel good about two things. One, anything less than 7, it would take a total collapse. Like, the type of collapse that would lead to someone from the Red Sox or Astros losing their job.
I have no problem with that, Jared. Let's be honest, huh?
No, that'd be great. And that no matter how many wins the Rangers have it tonight is pretty significantly a must-win game. And here's the reason why. I mean, it's not just, yeah, you gain a game on the Astros, but you also get the tiebreaker because at this point it might be tough to finish a game better than Houston, but it's still possible to draw even. And then also, let's say in a weird world, the Astros, Red Sox, and Rangers all finish with the same record. The Rangers win that because they have the tiebreaker over the Red Sox and the Astros. If there were split, if there were split levels of dominance there, if one team had the tiebreaker over one but not the other, and blah blah blah, that would end up not. If you go down the chain, that would end up not favoring the Rangers. But because the Rangers would have the tiebreaker over both of them, then it's, you know, end of conversation. So it's significant for a number of reasons. The Astros are not the only target for the Rangers. You know, technically the Red Sox are just as much a target. And, I mean, I guess you can't ignore the Guardians, who the Rangers will play down the year. But, that's why this, getting the tiebreaker over the Astros might not make a difference, but it could. And so that's why this game, I think, is you know, incredibly significant beyond just the ability to gain a game of ground against Houston.
Well, I'm going to hand the ball to Grom tonight, okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to get a victory tonight, all right? Everybody with me today?
We're doing it.
I thought you were saying something about Dan at first. I was like, who's Dan?
No, damn it. Yeah. No, we're going to hand the ball to DeGrom, he's going to pitch us the victory tonight. We're going to do this.
We're going to do this, Jared.
I'm in. Sign me up.
Okay.
You got Adolis Garcia in right field too, right? He's gonna hit you to victory.
Yeah, how about that?
He is. Yeah, he is, Jared.
Yeah, how about that?
I hope so. Yeah.
Screw Christian Javier, yeah, Jared. Screw him.
Yes, agreed. You guys are on a roll. Keep on going.
Hey, listen. You know what we need you to do, Jared? We need you to go on one of your Houston rants. Is what we need right now.
Come on.
That's why he's so upset.
Right, we'll take some calls.
You guys are like a brewery.
A liquor store that's
fine,
very, very
wine
nice.
And spirits
fine.
In Argyle.
Yeah.
Nice. Have you enjoyed some of the wine and spirits or no? Not yet.
No, Jared, we're just fired up.
Jared, we want to win a damn game, all right? We've seen you kind of struggle through 150-some-odd games, you know?
I'm feeling for you right now. Last night I was kicking the balls.
Yeah, last night stuck. I thought they were going to come back, and, you know, they had the advantage in extras just in terms of, you know, who was available in each team's bullpen, but – you know, last night in some ways, guys, was sort of representative of the season. You know, you dug a little bit too deep of a hole, perhaps. Hopefully, hopefully it's not ultimately representative. Hopefully the Rangers, you know, can make a run and get into the playoffs. But if they don't, last night's game is a perfect example. You know, you dig too deep of a hole, and as exciting as and as fun as it is down the stretch run, you come up just short. That's how last night ended. Hopefully, you know, that's not the same narrative for the season.
Hey, Jared, I'm a little embarrassed that you thought we were in spring training mode. You know, I'm a little embarrassed. I thought you were thinking that we were in spring training
just
mode.
Passionate.
You thought maybe that we'd somehow started into the Tito's, and
I give you guys credit. You guys just have a level of verve right now that I'm kind of jealous of. I need to get on your level.
Hey, before I forget to ask you, Jared Saylor joins us on the D&M guest hotline. What's going on with National Giving Day, North Texas Giving Day? How can we help you reach 5K?
Nice. So go to @SandlotCharity on Twitter, Instagram, or you can just check my social channels on Instagram, Twitter. There's a direct link. You can also search for the Sandlot Children's Charity, North Texas Giving Day. It's an awesome initiative around, you know, North Texas and the North Texas charitable community to try and, raise money. And listen, I say this every time. I would love for people to think so highly of Sandlot and our mission to support kids with disabilities and adults with disabilities too, to give them opportunities to play sports and just live an active, healthy lifestyle. But there's so many great causes and initiatives out there. If that's not what speaks to you, I would just, someone listening wants to just go on the North Texas Giving Day website and find an organization or a cause that is meaningful, you know, that all makes a difference. So we'd certainly love, you know, your dollars to go towards Sandlot and what we're trying to do. You go to our website and you can learn more about our, you know, our initiatives and some of the big projects we have. But there are a lot of great organizations out there. And, I just feel strongly that if people take some time to support a cause or an organization, then, you know, we'll be moving in the right direction as a community.
Yeah, I retweeted that for you for sure, sir.
Thanks, Rodis. You're the man, dude.
Jared, if they lose tonight, what happens? Is it possibly DeGrom's last start of the season? Would anything change?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, I think that if it gets to the point where they're eliminated, then, you know, they might do things like that. But they're not, you know, if they lose tonight, we can all sit here and say, man, That's a steep mountain. But I think until they've got the E next to their name that, you know, identifies elimination, I don't think that, I don't think they would make any of those decisions. Once that were to happen, if that were to happen, I should say, then, yeah, I think Jacob DeGrom right now, Gavin, is lined up to make, you know, another start and then lined up to make a start in the last game of the year. If they're not playing for anything in Cleveland, you know, for game 162, I'd imagine that, you know, he might not make the start. And if he does, he'd maybe only just go a few innings.
The Red Sox struggling. I don't know what it is. Losers of 4 or 5 or something like that. Are they going to maybe lose a couple to the A's and the Rays? Like, how much is Boston the team to overcome if you could play decent here down these last 10?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the interesting thing is that the Rangers have two teams, you know, they're, you know, kind of in pursuit of them. I mean, I guess three if you consider Cleveland because they're ahead of them right now. But Houston's got a tough one, right? They got Seattle coming to town. Seattle's playing incredibly well. And then they take on Oakland or the Athletics in Sacramento. And the Athletics are not an easy team, right? You know, the Rangers obviously had success against them here recently, but the Athletics hit the crap out of the ball. And, you know, it's not like they're a layover team by any means or a lay down team. So, I think both teams, you know, present interesting opportunities. But at the end of the day, the Rangers just got to win games. The problem, you know, the couple problems on the Red Sox side, they take on the Blue Jays and they take on the Tigers. I hope the Blue Jays are playing for something. I think the Blue Jays will still be playing for something then. I doubt the Tigers are going to be playing for much of anything at that point, so that maybe doesn't bode as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, Like I said earlier, I think the Rangers need to win 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 for it to even really be a conversation. But the fact that you've got, you know, multiple pathways, you know, potentially in, I guess, you know, is more advantageous.
Thank you, Jared. Have a great night down there, and we'll see you at home soon.
See you,
Dr. Friday. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. Rangers fans, we're live at Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits here in Argyle. Love it if you could come on by. We have a couple of chances to win in the Ultimate Cowboys Fan Hang presented by Whataburger coming up. Is just about 90 minutes left in the show before we get to Rangers pregame. Eric, where are we going next?
Football's finest. A little nugget about this Bears offense and the Cowboys trade we should all be hoping for next in the nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.